Let's continue reading verses 31 through 35 of Genesis 29. In this last section of Genesis 29, we have the record of the birth of Jacob's first four sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Genesis 29, beginning at verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now I will praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Once again, a few background notes. After Jacob left home and arrived in Haran, or the area of Padan Aram, his life was clearly divided into three periods of 7 years, 7 years, and 6 years, making up a total of 20 years. The first 7 years, he worked for Laban as a single man. During the second 7 years, Jacob was married to both Leah and Rachel, daughters of Laban, and started raising his family of 12 sons and several daughters. The children were born to Jacob's two wives, Leah and Rachel, and also to his two concubines, Bilhah and Zilpah, as we'll see in chapter 30. During the last six-year period, Jacob became very prosperous. But here in this last section now of Genesis 29, we're in that second seven-year period. And we have the names of the first four sons of Jacob, all born to Leah. Well, so much for our background notes for this section. Let's move to our doctrinal point. God's eternal plans include compassion for individuals. God's eternal plans include compassion for individuals. In verse 31, once again, we read, "When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Now, isn't that interesting? Here, God's eternal plans to build the nation of Israel are being carried out. And yet we see that these eternal plans include compassion for Leah because she is unloved. Now, we've already seen a number of times in our study of the life of Jacob how God's eternal plans are not thwarted by human mistakes and human sin. God can overrule and still work out his eternal plans. But notice here how these eternal plans also include his compassion for individuals. His eternal plans include compassion for individuals because he is a God of compassion, and his eternal plans are bound to reflect that compassion. Aren't you glad about this truth? Maybe you're here this morning and you feel unloved or oppressed or despised or stepped on. And maybe you think that God doesn't care because his eternal plans are too big, too complicated, so big that they've left your well-being out of the loop. That is not true. Learn the doctrine that we have right here. God's eternal plans include compassion for individuals, and that includes you. What about practical application? You can be sure that no one gets all the gifts and talents. You can be sure that no one gets all the gifts and talents. In verse 17 of this chapter, we read that Rachel was better looking than Leah. But here, at the end of the chapter, verse 31, we read that Rachel was barren and Leah was fruitful. God was in control of this situation. You can be sure that no one gets all the gifts and talents. Does it ever look to you like some people get all the gifts and talents and others get the short end of the stick? Look a little closer. You will find that there is the law of compensation that God has built into his moral universe. God has designed it this way so that we don't get lifted up with pride. There was no way Rachel could be proud because of her looks when she was barren. So remember to look a little deeper When you feel jealous of some brother or sister of yours in the Lord, who seems like they got all the gifts and talents, you can be sure that no one gets all the gifts and talents. Let's move now to chapter 30 and read verses 1 through 24. In these verses, we have the birth of seven more of Jacob's sons. We also catch a glimpse of the friction in Jacob's family. Genesis 30, beginning of verse 1. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife. And Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, "God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob, his wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "A troop comes." So she called his name Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed." So she called his name Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my hire because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." So she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Once again, a few background notes. In the first half of Genesis 30, we are still in that second period of 7 years while Jacob is building his family. 11 of Jacob's sons were born during this period. At least one daughter was born during this period, as you see there in verse 21. Now you might be wondering how Jacob could have all these children in such a short time. Well, the answer is obvious. He had four wives. Now, while polygamy was practiced by some of the patriarchs, it was never condoned by God. But here again, we see God overruling and working out his eternal plans in spite of man's departure from God's standards. And we also see the bad fallout that comes when man departs from God's standards. Look at the jealousy that we see here between Leah and Rachel. Rachel is barren, so she gives Jacob her maid Bilhah as wife. And then when Bilhah bears two sons, Leah gets back at Rachel by giving her maid Zilpah to Jacob as a wife. Now, just before we go to our doctrinal point for this section, we should say something about the mandrakes. In the ancient Near East, the mandrake plant was thought of as an aphrodisiac and inducer of fertility. But it's clear from the text that the mandrakes did not work. It was just superstition. Rachel remained barren, and Leah bore two more sons. It's nice to see that when God remembered Rachel, verse 22, and opened up her womb, she was no longer trusting in mandrakes. She says there in verse 23, "God has taken away my reproach." More we could say about the background there, but let's move to our doctrinal point. God's eternal plans include discipline for individuals. God's eternal plans include discipline for individuals. Remember, we said that even though God's eternal plans were being worked out here for the formation of the 12 tribes of Israel, these plans included compassion for individuals like Leah. And now we see these plans include discipline for individuals. Discipline is God's megaphone. There's a lot of discipline going on in this chapter. Leah is being disciplined for her part in going along with Laban to trick Jacob into thinking that she was Rachel. Rachel is being disciplined for not respecting the rights of her sister Leah to be married first in that culture. Most likely, by the way, Leah was God's choice of a wife for Jacob if they had stuck to the divine ideal of monogamy. Both Judah, the messianic line, and Levi, the priestly line, came through Leah. And then, of course, we see in this chapter Jacob being disciplined by God. Jacob had sown deceit and caused friction in his past family life. Now Jacob is reaping what he had sown. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." So do you see our doctrinal point then from this section? God's eternal plans include discipline for individuals. God is not only overruling human frailty and human failings to work out his eternal plans, he does it in such a way that on the one hand there's compassion for individuals, and on the other hand there is discipline for individuals. That was true then, it's true now. How does God do it? I don't know. It's beyond our finite comprehension, but it's true. God's eternal plans include discipline for individuals. And now one final practical application. Don't assume that what our culture approves is what God approves. Don't assume that what our culture approves is what God approves. Listen to what Leah says after she bears her fifth son. Verse 18. Leah said, "God has given me my hire because I have given my maid to my husband." Can you believe it? Leah actually believes that this fifth son is a reward or wages from the Lord for giving her maid Zilpah to Jacob. How wrong could she be? She was brainwashed by the culture of that day, which approved of polygamy and the giving of maids as concubines to bear children for the barren. God never approved of these cultural practices. Let's not make the same mistake that Leah made. Don't assume that what our culture approves is what God approves. Now, our culture does not, at this time, approve of polygamy, but it does approve of divorce. More and more, our Christian community is taking a light view of divorce, but God's standard remains the same. Malachi 2:16, "I hate divorce," says the Lord. More and more, our Christian community is approving of materialism and consumerism. Don't assume that what our culture approves is what God approves.